Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Windows Server 2003 R2 Storage Management. My name is Aaron Suzuki. In this session, we're going to tell the storage story of Windows servers. We'll start with the first storage features and move through the long-term vision for storage. Then we'll discuss the specific storage features in Microsoft Windows Server 2003 R2. There are two key features that we'll review in detail and see in demonstrations. We'll wrap up with a discussion about Microsoft's mission to simplify SANs for users of all kinds. But there's special importance to small and medium-sized businesses and the people, like many of you, who service those kinds of businesses. As we go through today's sessions, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterward. To get the most from this session, you should have a well-rounded background with Windows Server. Some knowledge of storage principles and fundamentals of storage management will also be helpful. In general, if you have implemented or managed any kind of storage, you'll have the basis to understand the information in this session. Now let's take a look at our agenda. We're going to start with a discussion of Windows storage. Then we'll dive into the specific storage features in Windows Server 2003 R2, namely, File Server Resource Manager and Storage Manager for SANs. Then we'll finish with a couple other aspects and where Microsoft is taking storage technology. So let's start with a discussion of why we need better storage management solutions. Doesn't it seem as though storage demands have increased as our hardware power has increased? Storage is estimated to grow at a rate of 60 to 100% a year. Managing storage growth effectively is a challenge for a variety of reasons. Adding more direct attached storage increases complexity. Network storage solutions can be complex, and few IT professionals among us are storage experts. 35% of SMBs have moved to direct attached storage to network storage already, and another 40% of SMBs are considering moving to networked storage. Costs of managing storage can be 10 times the cost of the storage itself. The process of consolidating file servers and storage is involved. It's complex and error-prone, and there's potential disruption to end users. What Windows has done to facilitate storage management has evolved considerably since Windows NT Server. Beginning with Windows NT, some basic storage management in the form of SAN connectivity was introduced. Then, in Windows 2000 Server, clustering and better load balancing were introduced. Windows Server 2003 introduced several storage innovations, including volume shadow copy services, which I'm sure you've either seen or used personally, plus a variety of other tools including iSCSI support, which opens an avenue of less expensive storage options that use commodity hardware. So, what's next? There are two key storage management features in Windows Server 2003 R2. File Server Resource Manager, which we'll call FSRM, and Storage Manager for SANs, which we'll call SMFS. We'll explore the details of these features and in the rest of this presentation. But briefly, FSRM is a new Microsoft management console that provides a suite of tools to help you understand, control, and manage the quantity and type of data stored on your servers. SMFS is a new MMC snap-in that helps you create and manage logical unit numbers on fiber channel and iSCSI disk drive subsystems in your storage area network. Let's get into the details of these new features. We've established the context and reasons for storage management. Now let's talk about the details of FSRM. Let's first establish what FSRM is and why you might need it. FSRM is oriented around three key areas: capacity management, policy management, and quota management. Challenges in capacity management arise around your ability to determine existing storage capacity usage across the organization, your ability to determine whether usage effectively supports organizational goals, and how well you can define and implement storage policies, and adjust the policies as capacity needs grow and as organization needs change. A good capacity management solution will help you to identify where storage capacity is used inefficiently, identify mechanisms to prevent future capacity misuse, and monitor usage patterns and utilization levels. Policy management has its own challenges. For example, there is often no easy way to control the type of data stored on file servers. Unwanted content must be identified manually. An ideal policy management solution will help you to eliminate non-business files and improve storage utilization while reducing management costs. Implementation of policies to restrict unauthorized files will also help limit legal exposure, and it could even promote a culture of accountability. Finally, user home directories often grow quickly, causing file servers to run out of space. Departmental shares can also grow unexpectedly. Administrators are only aware of storage crises when the server is already out of space. Quota management would help you control the amount of space used for a folder or share and limit its impact on server utilization. A good quota management solution will allow you to monitor disk space, usage growth per volume, folder or share, and ultimately slow down storage growth overall. So what does FSRM do? FSRM is a suite of tools that facilitates capacity management. Using FSRM, you can place quotas on folders and volumes, actively screen files, and generate comprehensive storage reports. This not only helps you to effectively monitor existing storage resources, but it also helps you to plan and implement future policy changes. FSRM facilitates predefined and configurable capacity management. Predefined features include identification of large files, most and least used files, and it can allow you to view files by owner or file group. It also allows you to place quotas on usage and to record file screening data in an auditing database, which can be used for reporting. Configuration through FSRM allows you to create multiple volumes and multiple shares or folders. Now let's discuss FSRM policy management. FSRM policy management allows you to create rules and apply them to a folder tree or volume. The screening rules are based on file groups, apply to all user files in the folder, and file screening settings can be saved in a template. Passive and active screening are supported, and the screening events are recorded in an audit log. FSRM uses the same set of notification as quotas. Only NTFS volumes are supported, but usage is tracked in real time. Only those volumes with screening configuration are monitored, and the screening is based on file name patterns like file extensions and similar names. FSRM also has self-consistent volume configuration and cluster support. Next, let's explore quota management. FSRM quota management helps you to limit the size of a directory tree or a volume. The quotas you create apply to all users' files in directory. The limit can be soft or hard. Only volumes with quota configuration are monitored, and the quota usage is assessed based on disk size. There's support for special files such as compressed, sparse, named streams, hard links, and reparse points. There are multiple notification thresholds at configurable quota utilization levels. In other words, you can configure FSRM for notifications at multiple utilization levels. This can help you to do capacity planning based on elevated utilization levels. Self-consistent volume configuration allows quota settings to travel with the volume. This is valuable for SANs and for hot swappable disks. Now let's take a look at some of these functions in action. In this demonstration, we'll perform some of the management possible with FSRM. We'll start by accessing the FSRM snap-in. For several years, the ability to set quotas has been a feature of Microsoft operating systems. Now, with the feature enhancements of File Server Resource Manager, those quotas can be made much more useful by reporting a more accurate disk usage. FSRM tracks actual disk space used as opposed to logical file sizes. With folder-level quota settings, not just volume-level settings, advanced reporting for email, custom reports, command execution, and event logs, templates for easy policy deployment, and file screens to easily identify and remove unwanted files, leaving more room for higher priority storage needs. FSRM helps system administrators to understand how storage is being used and to manage the use of their storage by generating storage reports, applying quotas to volumes and folders, and screening files on the server. This technology is helpful in storage area network environments, but also has tremendous impact for all networks with shared storage of any size. When we create quotas and file screens, we can configure email notifications to be sent when quota limits approach, or when users attempt to save files that have been blocked. It is easy to establish defaults such as recipients and return email addresses. We can even test our email addresses to verify correct configuration. In our case, we do not have a mail server configured for our demo, so we'll receive an error message. We can clearly see that it doesn't require an IT expert to configure notifications with FSRM in Windows Server 2003 R2. By creating a quota template, we can apply the template to folders. Now we'll create a quota template. This is a simple form which can be found under the options for quota templates in the quota management component of FSRM. We'll start by establishing the settings for the template. Note that we have the option to set notification thresholds. We'll create an email notification when the server exceeds its size limits to both the administrator and the user. We will also log these events. Again, we haven't configured an email server to function with this demo, but we can create email options and save the template when no email server is identified. We can add additional notifications to generate a warning when 85% of quota is reached. FSRM enables system administrators to understand how storage is being used and to manage the use of their storage by generating storage reports, applying quotas to volumes and folders, and screening files on the server. With auto quotas, we can apply quota templates to folders and subfolders. Both subfolders that currently exist and those yet to be created within the folder. To create an auto quota, we simply create a quota from the quota options in the snap-in and derive the properties from a quota template. We'll select the quota template we created just moments ago. The quota template is applied to the folder instantaneously based on the template. Before we begin working with file screens, we need to understand the role of file groups in determining which files are screened. A file group consists of a set of file name patterns which are grouped into files to include and files to exclude. For example, an audio file's file group might include file name patterns such as *.mp*, which includes all audio files created in all MPEG formats. But we would add *.mpp*, Microsoft Project files, to the files to exclude field because those would otherwise be included by the *.mp* member. FSRM also gives administrators the ability to keep certain types of files from being saved on a file server. To accomplish this, we'll create a file screen and save a file screen template based on the custom file screen properties that we define. The new template will be applied to the file screen so that a link is maintained between the file screen and the template. This is the same method we'd use to create a quota template. We select all the settings as to what we want to screen. For example, frequently space-consuming audio and video files. We can also dictate email message options and more. Based on our selections, we can save the file screen as a template and simultaneously apply the file screen to our chosen folder. FSRM enables administrators to restrict the use and propagation of non-business files throughout the organization. Occasionally, we'll need to be able to allow exceptions to file screening. FSRM conveniently allows for this. We'll simply select the Create File Screen Exception option from the File Screening Management component of the FSRM snap-in. We complete the form by defining the path to the folder where we will allow the accepted files to be saved. And then we'll select a file group, image files for example. Note that you can modify the file group with include and exclude files with a high degree of granularity. Reporting is a critical component of nearly any modern IT tool. FSRM includes some handy reporting features, including the ability to schedule a set of reports. We can accomplish this by creating a storage report task from the storage reports management component of the FSRM console. We start by identifying the volume or folder on which we want to gather reports. And then we select the report parameters. There is again a high degree of granularity in which we can modify the report data to get exactly what we need. We'll also define the delivery address and the schedule on which we will gather the reports. We can also create reports on demand with FSRM. We do this by selecting Get Reports Now. The dialog looks almost exactly the same as the scheduled reports. Again, we start by browsing for the folder. And then we select the report data. Note that we do not have the option to schedule the report, although we can still specify an email recipient of the report. The system gathers the reports in a matter of seconds. The report is generated in Internet Explorer in a format that can easily be emailed or saved. We've completed our discussion around the background of storage management and the first key feature, FSRM. Now we'll talk about Storage Manager for SANS. Let's start with a discussion of why we would need a tool like this. Small business and even medium-sized businesses want to use more sophisticated storage technology, but it's unattainable to them in some ways due to several barriers. First, current tools are expensive and they're complex. That makes it impossible for small businesses to adopt and even makes the investment in hardware and knowledge for a medium-sized business a process. Even businesses that have good IT administrators often are not SAN experts and may have limited experience dealing with large storage solutions. Those businesses want the basic functionality enabling the administrator to easily share storage among multiple servers. SMFS offers basic, easy-to-use SAN management functionality, including device discovery, LUN creation, and storage allocation. These basic functions allow important technology to be deployed, such as shared storage solutions and clustering. Let's now talk about the basics of SMFS management and provisioning. There are some important fundamental points to keep in mind about SMFS. Large SAN solutions often have their own toolkits and often require specialized knowledge about the hardware and experience working with it in order to be efficient. The SMFS tools were built in such a way that they do not require a storage expert. General Windows administrators can perform array and LUN management. The tools are presented via conventional MMC snap-in. The solution is really targeted towards smaller-scale SANs that have been built on simplified hardware. SMFS uses the VDS infrastructure, which acts as the management enabler. Now let's look at the SMFS functionality. In the most simple sense, SMFS facilitates discovery of storage arrays on a fiber channel or iSCSI SAN, including storage array properties such as firmware information. SMFS allows you to create, delete, or expand storage array LUNs. In the process of creation, you can specify LUN options such as RAID configuration. SMFS also allows you to allocate LUNs to various servers on the SAN, as well as monitor that allocation and the status and health of the SAN servers. As we discussed in the previous slide, VDS is the facilitator of much of this functionality as it integrates iSCSI, ISNS, MPIO, and the HBA API, plus local storage management. VDS plays such an integral role, we should review what it does and how it works. The Virtual Disk Service, or VDS, in Microsoft Windows Server 2003 is simply a set of APIs. Those APIs provide a single interface to manage disks. The VDS provides an end-to-end solution to manage storage hardware and disks, to create volumes on the disks. Windows Server 2003 introduced VDS in order to help consolidate the applications required for various storage devices. Prior to Windows Server 2003, each device required its own application. VDS is commonly used for three scenarios: managing LUNs on hardware storage devices, managing disks and volumes, and managing end-to-end storage operations. VDS provides three interfaces: a single interface between the application layer and the service, and two interfaces between the service and the software or hardware provider programs in the data layer. Now, let's explore how VDS is used for SMFS. SMFS uses both the hardware provider and the software provider interfaces of the VDS API to manage storage. The hardware provider is software that translates the VDS APIs into instructions that are specific to the storage hardware. The capabilities of a hardware provider depend on the capabilities of the underlying storage hardware. So the degree to which each manufacturer implements the VDS API can vary. The software provider is host-based software that is supported by a kernel mode driver in the storage I/O stack. The software provider enables iSCSI and HBA API connectivity, as well as multipath I/O for path management. MPIO is another important component that is worth reviewing. Multipathing solutions, in contrast to RAID solutions, for example, are designed to provide failover through the use of redundant physical path components, such as adapters, cables, and switches, between the server and storage device. In the event that one or more of these components fails, applications can still access their data. Multipathing software also serves to help to remove bottlenecks and to balance workloads. The release of Microsoft MPIO allowed software and hardware vendors to develop solutions that are not only specific to their storage devices, but also work effectively with the Windows Server platform. Microsoft MPIO in SMFS accomplishes many of these goals. One great advantage is that it can be used with Fibre Channel or iSCSI spec-compliant targets. This helps organizations of all sizes to benefit from high-availability storage without having to commit to procuring enterprise-scale storage solutions and the associated expertise required to maintain these solutions. A generic iSCSI device-specific module is included with Microsoft iSCSI Software Initiator 2.0. But Fibre Channel deployments require vendor support. Let's look at the iSCSI and MPIO integration scenario a little bit closer. SMFS is integrated with iSCSI and MPIO, which has several advantages. The iSCSI UI allows you to configure the iSCSI host, target, and security parameters. The SMFS-MPIO integration enables HBA ports for multipathing. This is a key feature because, as we discussed in the previous slide, it brings the ability to manage high-availability storage to less experienced administrators on less expensive hardware. Now, let's see SMFS in action. In this demonstration, we'll see that Storage Manager for SANs enables key new functionality to simplify storage management for businesses of all sizes. Storage area networks offer the benefits of centralized storage, but for many small and mid-sized companies, those benefits have simply been too expensive to take on, both in terms of cost and complexity of management. Windows Server 2003 R2 includes Storage Manager for SANs, or SMFS, a feature that integrates the essentials of SAN management directly into Windows Server 2003. This opens the door to storage solutions to more organizations. We'll demonstrate some of the functionality by creating and assigning a logical unit in SMFS. SMFS is accessed via conventional MMC. It is important to properly configure our server connections so that we connect to the storage device correctly. We're working on the local server by default. The Manage Server Connections dialog allows us to add additional servers. We could simply click the Add button. We'd browse to the server or enter the server's hostname and the server would be discovered. For a clustered environment, we would also want to create a server group and assign a LUN to the server group. But in this demo, we'll work only from the local server computer. If a server supports Microsoft Multipath I/O or MPIO, we can enable multiports. For fiber channel connections, before we enable more than one port on a server, it is important to ensure that the server supports MPIO. If MPIO is not supported, data might be corrupted. This is not needed for an iSCSI subsystem. The Microsoft iSCSI Initiator service supports MPIO. On a fiber channel subsystem, no additional configuration is needed before creating LUNs. SMFS offers IT administrators basic SAN functionality without requiring the specialized consulting services typically needed for successful deployment and trouble-free maintenance of storage area networks. Here we create a new iSCSI target quickly and easily, in just a few short steps. We simply click Add to Target. We enter a name and select a portal to enable for the target. We can add as many iSCSI targets as needed through this interface. iSCSI Security has a unique dialog for configuration in SMFS. To configure iSCSI Security for a remote server, connect to that computer. For this demo, we'll just use the local computer. To configure one-way CHAP authentication, in which the target authenticates the initiator, we'll select the target we want to configure, and then we need to set the secret. SMFS uses the Microsoft Challenge Handshake Authentication Protocol, or MSChap, for iSCSI Security. MSChap passwords used both on this tab and on the Targets tab should be a minimum password length of 12 characters. Under Mutual CHAP Authentication, the initiator will only be able to log on to targets that know the initiator secret. Under Mutual CHAP Authentication, the initiator will only be able to log on to targets that know the initiator secret. To configure CHAP authentication of targets to the local initiator, we simply enter and confirm the CHAP secret for the initiator and indicate the targets to which we want to share the initiator secret. Similar to the previous tabs, on the Portals tab we have the option to set IPsec keys for all portals, or use different IPsec keys for different portals. The difference here is traffic will be encrypted using pre-shared keys and not just authenticated because we're using IPsec. Our demo environment is not properly configured to establish a logon session, but we'll still walk through the process. To log on to an iSCSI target, we simply select the target and click Log On. When the logon session is established with the targets, the server will be able to access all LUNs assigned to the target. This is just a simulation, so we knew the logon would fail, but it clearly is simple to establish logon sessions between the initiator and targets. To create a LUN, we simply select Create LUN from the LUN Management options in the Snap-in. This opens the Create LUN wizard. SMFS offers IT administrators basic SAN functionality without requiring specialized consulting services typically needed for successful deployment and maintenance of storage area networks. Throughout the wizard, we'll dictate a number of specifications for the configuration of the LUN, including the name and size. If we are creating a LUN locally, we could also configure an NTFS volume for the LUN. Creating a LUN can take minutes or hours. It is recommended that we do not close the storage manager for SAN's console while a LUN is being created. If the session ends before the process completes, we might not be able to determine the completion status for the LUN. SMFS allows small and medium-sized organizations to tap the benefits of SANs without incurring the often prohibitive costs and complexity that traditionally accompany SAN solutions. In addition to FSRM and SMFS, there are a couple additional technologies in Windows Server 2003 R2 that further simplify storage management. We'll look at these technologies next. DFS is not a new feature in Windows Server 2003 R2, but there are several improvements to it that make it worth a brief discussion. Basically, DFS virtualizes file servers and storage devices. DFS has a new interface in Windows Server 2003 R2, which provides a logical view of physical storage and of the global namespace, translating logical names to physical servers. It also has failover and failback support, which gives it higher availability. And since the share location is transparent to users, it will appear that files are always available, whether or not the local server is always online. We have time to talk about one more new component. Windows Server 2003 R2 comes with Unix interoperability features, which include Microsoft Services for Network File Systems, or MSNFS. MSNFS provides a file sharing solution for enterprises that have a mixed Windows and Unix environment. MSNFS allows users to transfer files between Windows Server 2003 R2-based and Unix-based computers using the Network File System protocol. MSNFS includes three main components: a username mapping server, an NFS client, and an NFS server. There are also MSNFS administration tools, including server for NFS authentication, and a Windows-side NFS admin UI. Now we'll talk in a little bit more generic terms about how Microsoft is expanding its SAN solution reach. As we discussed at the beginning of this presentation, SANs are desirable for a variety of reasons, and the growing demand for storage only makes them more important in the future. SAN adoption has been low, particularly in small and mid-sized businesses, but not for lack of demand. The main reason for lagging SAN adoption is the complexity, cost, and poor interoperability associated with SANs today. Microsoft is committed to simplifying SANs for businesses of all sizes. Microsoft is working with the storage industry to develop simple SAN solutions that you can easily install, run, and maintain based on both iSCSI and Fibre Channel. Today, with Windows Server 2003 R2, this goal is being met in three key ways. First, Microsoft is enabling SANs through existing infrastructures and existing IT knowledge with technologies such as iSCSI. Second, Microsoft is providing the VDS API to allow hardware providers to consolidate and standardize the applications that manage SANs. And third, Microsoft is ultimately making simple SANs. There's a great environment of partners that support these solutions. Microsoft is investing in training vendors in all storage categories, in addition to building new solutions like SMFS and FSRM that integrate with VDS, VSS, MPIO, iSCSI, and StorePort. Finally, Microsoft is developing management applications that simplify and ease SAN deployment. So let's wrap things up. In summary, there are two new improved features in Windows Server 2003 R2 that simplify storage management. The two key new features are File Server Resource Manager and Storage Manager for SANs. Unix interoperability tools such as MSNFS are also included in Windows Server 2003 R2 to help integrate heterogeneous environments. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, there are some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit microsoft.com/technet/add-51 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. there are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional. You can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator or system engineer, or a desktop specialist. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session.